13 minutes to nine. Britain's decision to leave the EU raises questions not just about trading relationships and money, but our future involvement in organisations like the European Police Office, or as it's more commonly known, Europol. The Home Secretary Amber Rudd says it plays an incredibly important role in keeping Britain safe. Our Home Affairs correspondent Danny Shaw has been given special access to Europol, which is based at The Hague in the Netherlands.
From the street in the Statenkwartier district of The Hague, the Europol building looms over you, an imposing grey concrete presence. But what really goes on here? Why has Europol become such an important part of law enforcement? And what'll happen after Brexit?
Well, to be fair, when I started 10 years ago, it was pretty quiet. People, not the general public, but I mean our counterparts, so the investigators in the member state, didn't really know what we did. And police are generally quite jealous of their data and they don't want to share the information unless it's really necessary. But of course, with years, Europol has increased importance and today the phone rings quite often, I must say.
It's a decade since David Ellero, an Italian murder detective who specialises in the mafia, began working at Europol. In those days, the organisation was regarded by many with scepticism. Some thought it was just another part of the EU bureaucracy. How different it is now. Europol is a hub for the exchange of intelligence between 750 agencies around the world. It coordinates EU crime-fighting operations and oversees databases containing tens of millions of pieces of information on criminals, offences and suspect vehicles.
For a criminal to communicate with his counterpart across Europe, it takes a second on WhatsApp. We need to make sure that we can take the police at the same speed, even if they have different juridical setups and even if they speak different languages.
So if there was one common language and one common judicial setup, would there be any need for this building?
Definitely not, but I think we are probably hundreds of years away from this.
And my dear brothers, this will be achieved by Allah's promise and then by our blood.
But there is no other. Countering the spread of propaganda from terrorist groups and extremists is one of Europol's fastest growing areas of work. A 26-strong team spends each day combing the internet for material and then persuading social media companies and websites to remove it. The head of the unit, Vincent Semestre, describes it as emptying the ocean with a spoon.
You need to have a capacity in-house, which is understanding this ideology in its original language, which means staff speaking Arabic, speaking Russian, speaking Turkish. Multiplying these resources need by all the member states would be quite difficult. You need to have a continuous monitoring of the technological environment. So it made sense to have decentralized in Europol in order to provide these centralized services to all the member states.
7-4. Although there's a relaxed and friendly atmosphere inside the Europol building, security is tight, as you'd expect. Everyone is searched, bags are x-rayed, identity documents taken away to be checked. On the second floor, there's another layer of security, with access only possible via a palm print scanner. Each one of the EU's member states, plus 14 other countries, including the USA, have their own staff working here. They're called liaison officers. There are more than 200 in total. Britain's bureau, with 17 officers, is led by Kenny Dron.
Here we are on the typical liaison bureau floor at Europol. Work really closely together. We've got on this floor Luxembourg colleagues from Ireland, Belgium and the Netherlands. Our Spanish colleagues just round the corner.
Buenos días. Mi nombre es Borja Barbosa, jefe de la oficina de enlace de España. Good morning. My name is Borja.
A key benefit of the liaison bureau is that representatives from each country can meet in person to sort out the complexities of cross-border police work. For British staff, an added advantage is that the language of Europol is English. There's no need here for long-distance phone calls, texts, or emails.
Emails just don't work when you've got people to protect and lives to protect back in the UK. So you've got to have that face-to-face contact to ensure that the other country and your colleagues understand the severity of the situation.
Although Britain will almost certainly continue to have liaison officers at Europol after Brexit, what's far less clear is the future of the 50 other UK law enforcement staff based here. It's also unclear whether Britain will still be able to take the lead on organised crime as they currently do in four areas, and if it can maintain access to the goldmine of intelligence stored here. Countries outside the EU do not have the same rights to see material as member states do. Europol's director, Rob Wainwright, who describes himself as a proud Brit, says he hopes the UK will still play a key role after 2019.
There's no doubt that if you look over the last 20 or 30 years, the evolution of police cooperation in Europe, not just at Europol, there's a heavy British footprint around that. Britain is rightly regarded as a natural leader on security. But the opportunity, therefore, to share that experience, the opportunity to leverage that influence is going to change and maybe diminish. And I think those in charge of running that in Britain will need to find alternative ways, therefore, of making sure that Britain can still have a real voice in European security affairs.
Danny Shaw reporting. It's 7 minutes to 9.